Praise God for water. In Africa, they say water is life. Amen. At least I heard it from my Africans. Come on. Amen. Amen. All right. I love the church. When I got back from Puerto Rico, I had grown out my beard just a little. Oh, if you guys have children, you can take them to children's church right now. Man, we're just going to mess everything up. I like that every once in a while. We just mess it all up. And you know what? The Lord works with messy people. So if you're messed up, then I'm messed up. Praise God. That's called church. And church is a bunch of people who are dysfunctional functioning together. And you know God's alive because when you got dysfunctional people functioning together, it's called church. Okay. So as the kids and everybody leaves, I'm just going to have a moment with myself. Okay, self moment, selfie. It's not on my notes. So I got home and my beard had grown out a little bit. And Lene, in the morning time, Lene comes and snuggles in bed with me, and she looks over at me. She goes, "Oh, Daddy, what's that white stuff on your beard?" And then she goes, "Oh no, are you getting old?" What? Nay, nay. Said, "I'm gonna shave your head, girl." One of the things that attracts me the most in the body of Christ is our stories. I love our stories. The Bible we read is a compilation of stories that are connected into the theme of a story of His glory. Amen? It's a story of His glory. You know what we got from Abraham to Joseph to Jesus, which I know that's a little bit of a jump, but you guys can work with me here. Our entire Bible really is story after story that when all connected, it begins to tell the story or His story. And so one of my most favorite Bible stories, and I just want to share it with you this morning, is it's found in John chapter 9. And there's an account of a man born blind. And it says, as Jesus was walking along, He saw a man who had been blind from birth. "Rabbi," His disciples asked Him, "why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sin or his parents' sins?" "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. "This happened so the power of God could be seen in him." That's an interesting story. And then Jesus healed him. I think about these different stories. You got this story of the parents, and they have a child who's born blind. And in that culture, at that day, obviously it's because of a sin somewhere because of that the blindness. We know that's not true today, but Jesus is showing something here. So in that culture, parents have a child. Can you imagine, right, as soon as they have a child that's blind, what would they be feeling? Well, what would happen in them? Number one, I think they'd feel shame, don't you think? They'd be, "Oh wow, what happened?" And I think, you know, it's interesting. I don't know, but maybe the husband and the wife, the wife goes, "I didn't do anything wrong. Hey, Henry, what's going on here?" And he's going, "Woman, I didn't do anything wrong. What'd you do?" And I mean, it could have put a wedge in between them. You know, it could have. But then you think about all the people they knew and that knew them, and can you imagine as they're in community, as they're out in community, what kind of things would they be feeling from all of their peers and relationships? Would it have changed those relationships? Would it have strained those relationships? That's part of this story. So one story, one kid gets born, and then you have this huge thing that can be there in the parents. And then you've got his story. His story. So as he's growing up, what's happening with him? What does his peers say? Are they ridiculing him? Are they dissing on him? I mean, can you imagine the opposition he would have faced as kids would make fun of him, saying, "Oh, there's the sinner," or he's part of the household. He's part of those guys across the tracks. You know what I'm saying? Those guys. We all have those guys in our life. And as we have those guys in our life, we've got to let the Holy Spirit work on us to not say those guys. It's really easy to say those guys until you've been one of those guys and you've come out of being those guys and you realize, I need prayer. There's a whole story here. Excuse me. There is a whole story here. And I think that God He set up these events, this story of the parents connected to all these other stories of other parents in the community. Then he's got the blind man who he's a man. So that means he's somewhere in his 20s, according to Jewish history. You're a man when you're 20. So he's gone 20 years with this plus. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and bam, he says, no, it's not because of his parents' sin nor his sin. But so God today could be glorified. The Bible is full of these stories. The reason they're in the Bible is because they are connected to a larger story. And today I'm just going to be discussing a bunch of stories. I'm not going to be sharing points necessarily. It's more just observation through story. And so I think first we got to ask, hey, what is my or your story? How do we define that? I think it's simple. It's our past, present, slash future. It's our story, our individual lives. Our story began in Psalms 139:13. For you created me, you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. That's the beginning. Now, if you're here this morning, just say, amen, I'm alive. Nice. I heard it from that group. Amen. I'm alive. There you go. All right. Now we're going to get more alive as we go on. We also have, individual story. We have our story. Our story happens when our individual stories are now connected together. So I got Red right here in front of me. He's talking to those guys up there. He's not listening to me. Isn't this great? This is great. He's like talking. He doesn't know that I'm talking to him. My story is connected to his story. Now we have our story, right, bro? Amen. Quit talking to those guys. You guys quit talking. That's our story. It's the joining or connecting of our individual stories. And this morning I want to look at two words in context to our story, which brings us to the title of the message, aware and engaged in his story. When our stories are connected into God, we are now a part of his story. In missions, one of the things we teach is everyone is on mission. So you're either part of the go team or the send team. The go team is those who physically go on the mission. The send team are those who send the go team on mission. But everybody's a part of that team. Right, Nancy? Yep, I see that hand. Amen, lady. No, it's really true. We're all a part of that same team. One of the things that's really cool is when you take we begin to develop the go team, we believe that God handpicks the go team. And so even in the very beginning, when we're first rallying and there's interest in missions, we're saying, all right, Lord, let's all be a part of this prayer process that you would pick the right people who need to go on this mission to do what you want to do. And so as we do that, what's really fun is you get all these individual story that then begins to come together to be the team. And so it kind of looks like a gear, and you have got a gear, and this is a 15 tooth gear. So on our last team to Puerto Rico, we had 15 people. Teams look like this, people. There's not one tooth that's better on this gear than the other tooth. There's no such thing. You might think I'm leading it, but I'm just a tooth in a gear. And every one of us has a part to play. When you take this team and you connect it into something bigger, it starts to look like this. And this can power things and move things in ways that is mind-blowing today when it's connected. That's the story. We were part of a relief mission in Puerto Rico, and as I said before, the church sent out last month in relief efforts from Hurricane Maria. While in Puerto Rico, one of the ground partnerships, one of the leads, they asked the team the following question. So as we all went out in our different ways in order to do relief work, they said this: today, as we go throughout the day, look for something in the day where you see God, a God moment, and bring that ready to share tonight. All right, so that's cool. When you're tasked with that objective, it's really interesting as you go throughout your day. I mean, we were working hard, but when we were tasked with that objective, it challenges you to engage the day. So you're constantly looking, you're constantly wondering, where's the God moment? Is that the God? Anyways, we're going to push pause on the message. We're going to take a little commercial break. So pause. We are now out of Puerto Rico. And I want to give you a little blurb on StrengthsFinder. I love Strengths Finder. I do. I love it. And one of the reasons I love it is this guy right here. His name is Tyrell Burnett. I love Tyrell Burnett. I love this dude. He is awesome. His family's amazing. I love this dude. I'm going to tell you why. Tyrell has had so much impact in my life and my understanding of the global church. He doesn't even know that. But he has. And I want to tell you his story. Some of you have heard his story from Carpenter Series 301. And if you haven't, I'm not going to go into that right now as far as the 301. But it's a foundational class and it's great. But Tyrell says this. And this is his story. He says, I grew up being labeled as slow. When asked questions, I would take time processing. So I would often be interrupted and unable to answer. StrengthsFinder highlighted a deliberate theme of talent. And I have come to understand that I am not slow. Rather, I am accurate. I tend to filter through more mental data in order to obtain the desired outcome. Knowing this from StrengthsFinder has set me free to enjoy who God has made me to be. I make sure that the job I am doing is done with accuracy. So when you ask Tyrell a question, he has this huge database of processing where before we've labeled these people as slow because they don't have a quick answer. It's not true. He's got this huge database and he's thinking all these lines of code, and then he pulls out and extracts these answers, and he puts them over here on this column, and then he's thinking, wait, and then he takes these and puts them over in this column, and gets down to about one answer. And if you interrupt a guy like Tyrell in the middle of that, the whole equation changes, and he's got to go, whoa! Okay, and then it just messes everything up. If you ask me a question, my line of code, two lines. I go, yep, bam. Anyways, I don't know who's my loudmouth people out there. Don't raise your hand. I've come to call these people like Tyrell as loud-minded. My lens in evaluating Tyrell years back, it may have joined society in calling him slow when asked questions or in dialogue. But because I'm in a living organism called community or church, God is shaping me and growing me to see people from his perspective and his lens, and then tasked to encourage them on how God might see them. So now this is what's really cool. Tyrell, now he understands his strengths. He has lived a lot of life confused and even hurt by this. But now Tyrell has connected this hurt and pain to God. He has asked God for help. I mean, he's asked God. I remember one time we were driving down to Boyer and he goes, hey, CJ, how do I think faster? My two lines of code, and I'm sure I gave a little blurb back in that day that was whatever. But here's what's really cool. Tyrell has asked the Lord for help in this. And did the answer come right away? No. What's really cool is about 5 years ago, that's when that answer really came with clarity. And I am just so grateful to know Tyrell because he's connected his story. It came at the right time, that answer for Tyrell. It came at the right time. And now, God is using Tyrell's story all across the planet. The story is similar to the blind man. And check this out. Jesus did show up at the right time. He showed up at the right time. But God knew that Tyrell needed to be connected to people like CJ, needed to be connected to other people in community, needed to connect to all these stories. Because then when all of a sudden, at the right time, God showed up and revealed an answer. It was at the time where God could maximize his glory. Tyrell, yeah, you experienced some pain and all of that, but when you submit all that to something larger, you realize this is way bigger than my individual pain. God's doing something at his right timing that will maximize God's glory. You are not alone. You are part of something so much bigger than your individual story. Okay, commercial break. It's now over. We're back in Puerto Rico, okay? We're tasked with this question. Today, as we go throughout the day, look for something in the day where you see God, a God moment, and bring that ready to share tonight. So as I went throughout the day, as we were working hard, there's times where I got to encourage my team, And there were some neat things that happened throughout that day, but I just didn't sense that it was God's highlighted moment. And I'm just going, all right, Lord, we kind of wrap up. We hub back at our base of operation. And then while we're there, there's another disaster relief team that we were hanging out with and beginning to get to know. And God says to me, he goes, that guy on that team, I want you to go give him a word. Go tell him he's a fixed point. Okay, cool. So I walk up to the guy and I say, dude, because that's how I operate. I'm dude. I just want to tell you, God says you're a fixed point. You don't need to compare yourself to others who might be more verbally communicative, but know that you have your place. People can lean into you. You are stable and a blessing. And oh man, his eyes were like so huge. And you could tell there was just something happened inside of him. And he goes, yeah, you know, he was awesome. He goes, oh yeah, you know, now I look at you and like people are drawn to you. And he goes, ah, oh, man, I'm like not that guy. And I go, whoa, dude, you don't need to compare to me, bro. I said, God says you're a fixed point. And you know when you, let me get to my notes. Otherwise I'm going to go off track. Oh Lord. I go, you're a loud-minded fixed point. And he thanked me for the encouragement. And I thanked him for being a guy people could lean on. I told him that I find myself in life being drawn to people like him. And he had a huge smile on his face. And this is what I realized, is I knew that God was able to encourage this man. I knew God encouraged him. Because I could tell just by when the word hit him, that he had been comparing a lot of his life to people who was not like himself. And you could just sense that his whole world was changing. He's like, yeah, man, I like being loud-minded. I am that guy. I'm a fixed point people can lean on to. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, maybe this man's felt stuck, out of place, so wrapped up in comparisons that he really can't appreciate the roles and the jobs that he's currently serving in. And regardless, I knew this God moment mission was completed. And the church, the global church, is stronger as a result. That's the power of our words of encouragement when we listen to the Lord. The global church is stronger. Amen, church? Amen. Everywhere I travel, I somehow end up connecting and encouraging loud-minded people. And it's because of Tyrell's story. So Tyrell's story is now connected to this other dude's story through my story. And who gets all the glory? Come on, Lord, you get all the glory. I sure don't always live in this reality aware of what God is doing. God is challenging me to become aware and engaged in his story. So how do we develop a sense of awareness in our everyday life, both in our stories and in others? What are we supposed to be aware of? And to me, this is a huge conversation. It can spin in a lot of different directions. It's a conversation that honestly we should all be having with one another. For starters, I think that we need to start with, Lord, what do you want to bring to my attention today in order that I am more aware of you and what you are doing? And how can I be a part of that? The Bible says that Jesus is coming back, that the choices I make today, I will be held accountable to, and that my life is purposed for his glory. Are we aware of that? Matthew 24, 42 through 44 says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. 2 Peter 3 is an incredible chapter that also targets this idea of being of living aware. And we're not going to go into the whole thing, but please, I ask that you read it in context later on. It's a great chapter. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Stories take time. Stories take time. God is not slow. as some might think. Stories take time. God's character is not slow. It's patient. God is patient. He's allowing stories to come to their right fruition, our stories to come to the right fruition in order for him to get greater glory. Just like the blind man, his story took at least 20 years. That time is a part of the story. It's a huge revelation. The time, the pain, is a part of the story. We think the story is just the healing of the blind man. No, it's all of it. It's important in a story to not just be aware that God is doing something, but find out what your role of engagement is. We ask, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing, Lord? We become aware. Now we ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? We engage. In my life, I appreciate the stories that teach me regarding raising younger kids. I've got three young kids, and I've asked a lot of older people this very question. What piece of advice can you give to me regarding your story in having raised small kids to adults? Now, you need to posture yourself. When you ask somebody who's older than you a question regarding raising kids, and I've asked people in the faith, out of the faith, I've asked so many people, I've asked ethnic, all kinds of people this question. When you ask somebody this question, they need to know that you're ready to hear their answer. Because you're basically asking somebody to give you 30 to 50 years of their life. You need to posture yourself. You need to look into their eyes. You don't, hey, could you give me some advice because you're wiser? Sometimes we do that. Man, I'm telling you, when I ask these questions, I am so engaged. I look into their eyes, and as I have looked into many eyes, I have seen so much story come out of people. I have seen so many tears from old men and old women. I have seen trembling. I have seen shame. So much pain. I have seen so much regret. I've seen joy. I've seen so many other things. And this is what the common answer is. To 30 to 50 years, the common answer is this right here. Enjoy the moments. And as I've lived life, I'm becoming more aware of understanding. Enjoy the moments. What does that exactly mean? It looks something like this. About just a long day, whatever, long day at work. My mind is full. I come into the house and I sense the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Enjoy the moments, right? Because now their story is connected to my story. I'm aware. Okay, enjoy the moments, Siege. Enjoy the moments. I walk into the door and I see my kids and I'm feeling this sense of enjoy the moments because I've looked into so many souls, bleeding souls that are just full of pain going, I didn't enjoy the moments. And I go, I want their story to be a part of my story. And I say, oh, kids, get over here. Get over here. Come here, you guys. Snuggle up. Oh, man. What are you doing? Enjoy the moments. I think this is one of the greatest battles of Christianity is enjoying the moments. Enjoying the moments. How are you guys doing?
Good.
How was your day?
Good.
Did you guys fall asleep during the message?
No.
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Great. That's awesome. Way to lead your sisters. That's really good leadership. Not. I sure love you guys. It is a privilege for me to have you as my children, even though you didn't have a choice in that, but it's a privilege. Okay. You guys want to go sit back down? Nope. Okay. All right. I got to enjoy the moments. You guys can go sit back down. I love you very much. Bye, Lily. Oh, you lost your... Oh, Cinderella story. Hold on. This is an opportunity. Enjoy the moment. Hello, my princess. Oh, my. Sure love you. She's like, oh, get me out of here, Daddy. Oh, Lordy. We're going to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. He's going to bring an awareness to us. Now, how do you engage? And these stories are incredible. All right. I'm going to share a few, I'm going to skip around a little bit. I'm going to share a few stories from my own life regarding being on missions just recently. So while in Puerto Rico, again, our base of operation was First Baptist Church in Rio Piedras. The pastor that we worked with, her name was Pastor Laura. She is right there. She is a go-getter. And she basically turned her church into a relief center. She didn't really want to pastor this congregation. Before pastoring, her job and her passion was that she was a community service coordinator. She's passionate about it. She was activating. She had 20 full-time employees underneath her in Puerto Rico, and they were taking on issues all over the country. And this gal was, she is a mover and a shaker, and she was just loving doing what she was doing. And then, they asked her to pastor a church, and she's like, oh, sure, Lord. And she said yes to the Lord. And then, it's really interesting, wham! Hurricane Maria hits. The once perfect pews, really, the pews, a part of this church, they were pushed out of the way, and they provided a shelter for over 150 workers. The church, she says that the church kind of was dead before this point. She said the church awoke. And then and then Pastor Laura said, then the Pentecostal pastor down the road, he's going, hey, you know, we don't have a kitchen, but we got food. And she goes, I got a kitchen, but we ain't got no food. And they partner together, which is beautiful. And God begins to unite his church in order to minister disaster to relief to people. And you know, I love this because during her story, I mean, all the things that she's went through, I think it comes back to this verse. God is not slow in keeping his promise. He will use you and I to accomplish his purposes. He doesn't want people to perish. And you know what? They got to minister to a lot of people, and they have seen a lot of people come to know the Lord because of disaster ministry relief at the trench level to hurting people. Now you rewind this story just a little bit, and you think about right when the storm hit, God began to work on individuals in this church, and we began to prepare to go. And so we joined forces, just as that gear connects into other gears, we joined forces. And then all of a sudden, we go on the campus, the last day we were there, that just kind of fell into place. We go on the campus and we take bags of food with us to college students. And what I love is Pastor Phil, so many years ago, started a campus ministry. He started a campus ministry. And because of his heart, I love this. The church has wanted to do a ministry on campus because it's really close. And we go up on campus and we start talking to college students because we just dig college students. And then all of a sudden, the Lord opened up the door. The director of this hall said, because Pastor Phil said, hey, do you think we could do a Bible study here? And the director goes, yes. And so they got on the phone. Pastor Laura, they told her, Pastor Laura goes, oh, wow, that's amazing. Okay, great. Because she's just an activator. So she then gets on the phone with one of her congregation members. And they call her and they go, would you be willing to do a Bible study? Oh, man, I would love to do a Bible. Are you kidding me? So now all of a sudden, they got a Bible study on a campus where before that time, the church wasn't able to get onto the campus. And so now all of a sudden, there's fulfillment of this whole thing. God connects all of these stories together at the right time so that he maximizes his glory. I love that. And that is the church. Thank you, Jesus. There's a story of one of the gals we served. Her name was Margie. And Margie, we were working on her project, and she wanted us to sand down these iron bars. And so I'm like, oh, okay, I can sand these. I go, you know, if I had a drill, the one thing I forgot was my wire wheel that connects into the drill so I can go, you know, and just get it done fast because we needed to get it done fast. And I'm like, oh man, shoot, I left my wire wheel. And somehow she got wind of what I was talking about. She goes, hey, come here. So I'm like, okay. So I'm following her, you know, and then she opens up this little shelf with this little curtain. She opens it up and she pulls out this bin. And her husband's gone, you know, he passed away a long time ago. She pulls out this bin and pulls out this wire wheel that connects to a drill. And I'm going, what? Margie, how do you even have that? And she's like, I don't know what it is. I just have it. I'm like, I don't look at those things as coincidence, people. I really don't. When we walk with God enough, this is how God operates all the time. These stories always connect in the faith. We just aren't always aware to recognize this is what he is setting up so he can get the most amount of glory. In this church, we've got some incredible stories. It's not meant to be my or your story alone, but we're a part of a story that's threaded into a larger story. This church is a part of the global church, and it's exciting to see how it all unfolds. We need to use our stories. We need to connect with others and share our story. Ways that we can do this is, hey, how did you end up following Jesus? That's a great icebreaker, one to another. Let's listen to how we came to know our Lord and Savior. How did you end up here at this church? What are you going through in your life right now? And we need to have a little bit of relationship before we just jump into that question. But what is Jesus showing you? What would you do in this situation? I think it's important for us to engage in these kinds of stories. Have you ever, has this, whatever it is, happened to you? How did you navigate it? There's so much to our story. What do you want to learn from one another in this story? Just ask, engage. Right, my wife's amazing, but we're doing this small group called Eudaimonia. Eudaimonia means well-being, and we're looking at the topic of well-being through many different dimensions of life: spiritual, physical, social, emotional, financial, vocational. And so we look at well-being and from all those lenses. And one of the times that we did it was on financial. And so we had Jason and Tara Dyke share their personal testimony of going through Dave Ramsey's stuff. And so they shared to the entire group basically a teaching testimony. And we were so blessed by their testimony that half of our group ended up being a part of the Dave Ramsey stuff. So Jenny and I are listening to this stuff, and I'm like, oh my goodness, my parents had me on a budget at 9 years old. I thought I knew this stuff, so I was always kind of hesitant to get into it. And I'm getting so schooled, and I'm like, oh man, I wish I would have done this when I was 20. But I really want to say, I really appreciate Pat and Janet, because they've had a drive to really see this through. And when they're sharing, they're saying, you know, we're older, and they're having to make some really tough decisions to even give to us what they're kind of handing down. But they have a lot of story there. And I just really, Janet, I really appreciate you so much and your willingness to say, let's take this path, let's go bigger, and let's bless people. So deep thanks from my wife and I and from all of us that are part of this. It's really changing our lives. And so sincere thanks. There's a beautiful story. I want to just jump into it real fast. There's a beautiful story of Redefine last year that Pastor Kerry had a heart for. And I love it. I'm not going to do it justice by sharing it, but I'm just going to, if you're new with us this morning, I just want to give you a little snippet. And it's very simply. There's a guy in our church. His name is Justin Smith. And he's got a beautiful family as well. But basically his story is he and his brother got in a fight. 12 guys were jumping him and beating him Justin knew that his brother, there's no way he could help his brother. So he pulls out a firearm out of his car, shoots it out in random and then dispersed the crowd. However, he was arrested because the police said that he discharged his firearm in open. But then it had actually hit and killed somebody. And so he's facing charges that he is going to prison because he killed somebody. And he's like, oh my gosh, because the bullet went through a window and hit somebody. Well, then as the whole thing comes together, and I'm not doing total justice to this, but you're going to get the picture. And then when the whole story comes together, it was found that the bullet just hit a guy, but did not kill him. And so Justin ended up doing about a year worth of time. Now the story is that during this, so we did this in Redefine and talked about how really Justin's life is radically changed. He is an amazing man of God, part of this church. We love him and his family. They're amazing people. So Thomas Lawford, he's a part of the prison ministry team here, and so he ends up taking this story that we recorded, takes it down to the prison. So they show this story in prison, and then they begin to one of the inmates in the back says, the inmate that is a story says he wasn't even planning on coming to that service, but he ends up saying, okay, fine, I'll just go. So he comes, and while the story's beginning to go on the video, he goes, ah! Stands up, that's my story. Thomas goes, yeah, it's all of our stories, brother. You know, that's part of our life, you know. And no. That's my story. That's my brother. What? And it ends up being, that's Justin's brother, Jordan, standing up in the back. That's who this whole story was about. Why Justin even spent time discharging his firearm. And Justin gets radically set on fire. Excuse me. Jordan gets radically set on fire in prison for the Lord. Begins to have these prayer meetings in prison. I mean, this guy is so on fire. And then he gets out of prison. Now he's a part of our church here. And he is just loving Jesus. He is loving a redeemed, restored life that is found in Jesus. And we love Jordan. We love what God is doing. And I'll tell you what, it is so fun to look at these individual connections and how they complete a story. And you go, all of these individual stories unfold at the right time for who gets the glory. Man, I love that. I just love that. I think, what are the stories in this room that have yet to just get connected, to get connected, to get connected, in order that God's name is made famous? We got people all around us. There's so many stories in this room. So many stories in this room. So many. And we got people all around us, all over the place. We got from different communities and our family members all spread out. And what about the stories that we get aware of that don't seem to be connected into God's story? Yet. Just always hold on. Yet is a powerful word. Yet. Many stories you hear are tough and full of hurt. When you ask someone's story, you need to figure out with the Lord silently. When you ask them their story, what is God doing in their story? And what is your role? What's your role in the story? How can you be a part of it? I believe God is wanting to grow our awareness of what He is doing and encourage us to engage in His story. I believe the enemy neutralizes us, church, of what He's doing. And this is how He does it. He convinces us that my or your story is insignificant or small. The pain or hurt that we all experience in life, the menial tasks that we oftentimes have to do called normal life, over time, feel disconnected from anything awesome. God wants to use, He wants us to use our story by connecting it. We need to share it. We need to give our stories to God. And then we need to allow the Holy Spirit to move in order to connect our story to others. This will grow His story. And your life will be purposed with bringing God glory. In Matthew 5:16, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, sometimes I got this image of a person walking across the crosswalk on this, you know, just walking all by themselves. They're not on the phone. They're just their heads down. It's just an individual story walking by across, you know, through a crosswalk. I'm telling you, sometimes that's us people in the church. Enemy's got us isolated and insulated, our heads down, and we are not aware, nor are we engaged. I'll tell you what, though. When you know that God is doing something all across this planet and your individual story is a part of a bigger story, you may have your own story. That's cool. But you are walking aware. I'm ready to engage. You know, sometimes this works like this. You're nice to somebody. That's cool. You're nice to somebody out there. You just see them and you're nice to them. Why? Because you love them. Why? Because you've been loved. So you're nice to them. That's it. That's all you feel God wants you to do. Just be nice to them. Okay, so smile at them. You know what's really cool? You do that. And then guess what happens? You do that because you saw, I don't know, you didn't even see that story. You felt the Lord said for you to be nice to that person. So then you're nice to that person. And you know what's really cool? Is then Sylvia ends up talking to the person. She doesn't even know that all you guys were nice to this person. And she ends up talking to the person. The person dumps their entire life story out on Sylvia. And Sylvia leads her closer to the Lord. So is Sylvia the evangelist in this story? Sylvia is just a part of the story, beginning to unfold to show His story. This is how God works all of the time. We all have a story in this room. Remember, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. We don't want to be the some. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And just like Pastor Lara in Puerto Rico, the storm is not what made her life finally have value. It was not the storm. It was every day that led up to it. We celebrate the hero moments. We do that all the time. We over-celebrate sometimes the hero moments. But don't forget, most heroes, they don't consider themselves heroes. I think she was a pastor for almost a year, just wondering, Lord, what are you doing with my life? Saying yes to him in the secret place. Yes to him in the secret place. He will connect your story at his right time. Share your story, people. Do people know your story? Whose story do you want to know? Connect your story. Let Jesus have your story and use your story for his glory. And then please live both aware and engaged in his story. Today, as we go throughout the day, look for something in the day where you see God, a God moment. Come on and share it with somebody. Amen.